Jesse, no tie today for us, thankfully. A fair amount of the regulars in the lineup, a few starters on the mound, and a 5-4 Blue Jays spring training win over the Phillies for us to discuss for the next half an hour or so. How's it going, man?
It's going well. That was refreshing. See some home runs mixed in there, some decent outings from guys that we can expect to have decent outings over the course of the season. Max Scherzer looking good again. Some of the bullpen guys getting in the action. So a lot to talk about here on Blue Jays Talk for the next little while.
Yeah, that's Jesse Rubinoff. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to Jays Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can text us anytime, 590-590, name and location. The people's text line is always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. Yeah, we can go any number of ways to start. I mean, we can talk Scherzer. Bowden Francis followed him when he got a clean inning to start with. Dalton Varsho, Bo Bichette, Stuart Baroa as well. He's not a regular, but all three of those guys going yard. Stuart Baroa, I will say, as a non-regular, he hit that home run to essentially the deepest part of the park. An absolute bomb from Baroa, so good for him. But certainly Varsho and Bichette looking good. Jimmy Garcia and Chad Green, the last couple of innings, coming to close things down. Got another look at them. They both looked really good. Chad Green barely threw any pitches, considering the balls that were on the ground. But where do you want to start? You want to start with the batters? You want to start with the pitchers? Where do you want to go?
Yeah,
first?
Let's start with Bo, because we talked about how important a bounce back season is for Bo Bichette. And you said there's no more likely candidate in this lineup to bounce back if you're a betting man. And I completely agree. And obviously you can't read too much into the early going of spring training, but boy, he looks good.
He does.
He absolutely demolished that ball, hitting another home run. He went 2-for-3 today. He just looks good, and it's so refreshing to see him sort of playing free, it looks like. And if there's one thing that the Jays absolutely need to go right, obviously there's a host of things that you can talk about, but you absolutely need Bo Bichette to be the Bo Bichette of a couple of years ago and not the one from last year. And it's very, very, very early in spring training, so we can't really read anything into it, but it's at least nice to see him hitting home runs in the fashion that he did today, as opposed to just going up there and striking out a couple of times.
See, I think you can read at least this into it, which is simply that, and again, I'm going to list some stats off for some of for the home run he hit in the third inning, but I think at the very least that everything he has hit in the spring so far has been hard and extremely loud. So even if it's not necessarily home runs or ribbies or whatever, Bo has looked much more normal. I'm using air quotes, normal.
Timing looks there.
Yeah, he just looks like himself, whereas I'm not sure I could really point to any stretch of games at all last year where he looked like himself, and now he was injured. He had the calf injuries, multiple calf injuries. He had the neck spasm, he had the fractured finger right at the end of the year. So, like, all those things contributed, obviously. But he'd even said, and I forget who it was, might have been Keegan at MLB.com, might have been Ben for Sportsnet.ca. Someone reported this, might have been Shy, but someone reporting that Bo said that it wasn't just the injuries, it wasn't just him not playing well, he was dealing with some mental things as well. And, you know, he's not going to elaborate on what those things are, but that he's feeling much more like himself this season. And, I mean, like, that solo home run in the bottom of the third inning, 108.9 miles an hour off the bat. It went 420 feet. Like, he hit the absolute crap out of that baseball. And yeah, he's just looked very good. I mean, he did get thrown out to go into second at one point, but I mean, look, that stuff bothers me a little bit less than the hitting aspect of his game. And the hitting aspect of his game looks a little bit more, to your point, on time so far.
Yeah. When I'm looking at, I mean, obviously he's leading off today, and I think that's the right spot for him personally. If he's going to perform the way that everybody expects him to perform this season, then I'm all in favor of having sort of an ambush at the top of your lineup. The leadoff guy obviously gets the most at-bats of anybody in the lineup, and if he's the prolific hitter that we expect him to be, then I don't see how that can be a bad thing. If you have Bo, Vladdy, Santander at the top of your lineup, that gets the game off on the right foot if they're performing well. And I think we saw last year, having Springer where he was for the longest time, and the Blue Jays taking such a long time to decide to move him down in the order, it just doesn't get off on the right foot. And I think that's a dangerous game to play. If you want to go back to Springer again and he struggles coming out of the gate,
right?
Like, you can't put yourself in the same position. You have to be able to learn from the mistakes that you made. That was a mistake last year, keeping him in the leadoff spot for as long as they did. So if Bo shows you something here and early returns are that he's feeling comfortable, I'm very on board with having him as a leadoff man. He's not a conventional leadoff guy, so to speak, but when the contact's there and he has the ability to lead the American League in hits, I don't necessarily see how that can be a bad thing. I'm all for aggressiveness out of the gate.
So yeah, my only pushback would be if you believe Bo is actually going to be that good, then I almost would rather have him bat two, right? I'd almost rather have him bat like question mark leadoff and then Bo, Vladdy, Santander, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and again, it depends on who the other options are, right? Like if the leadoff option ends up being George Springer, I don't have an inherent issue with it. It's just, and they're not the only team that does this, but many other teams are willing to not have guys locked into the leadoff spot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The example I used for ages last year when we were trying to make the case for Springer not being the leadoff guy when he was really slumping were the Yankees, actually, because the Yankees had Gleyber Torres and he was not performing at all. And then they moved him out of the leadoff spot and they experimented, and they're not the only team. Many teams experiment with their leadoff hitter, and the Leafs, at least they had a good game today too. Actually, the Jays were locked into Springer for so long that it felt like they were just like sticking their fingers in their ears,
yeah,
and not exploring other options. So again, I'm not saying that Bo should not be the leadoff hitter, but I just feel like the place that looks the best for him might be the two hole. But if that's the case, then someone's got a bad leadoff, right? And the other argument I've heard, Jesse, and I'm curious to get your take on this, has been, well, okay, if you believe Bo should be batting next to Vladdy and Santander, instead of having them go 2-3-4, you could just have them go 1-2-3, but then that still leaves you with somewhat of a hole in the cleanup spot. And I think you kind of want Vladdy and Santander to bat 3-4 in some capacity. So again, I'm not saying you don't have Bo in the leadoff spot just to be a contrarian, but I mean, you know, right now there haven't been a lot of slam dunk options to put up there ahead of him.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely good to have options. I just think you're running a risk of the mistakes that you made repeating themselves, and fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't get fooled again. The old George Bush quote. So you need to be able to learn from what happened. And Bo, I think there's something to be said for setting the table appropriately. Like, I think a guy getting on base early, I really think there is a trickle down effect there. I think there's something to be said for momentum and, mm-hmm. and getting the ball rolling, whatever cliche you want to use. And I think when your leadoff guy goes up there game after game after game, and the first at bat is kind of an uncompetitive, I'm going to look at a couple strikes and then flail away on a slider outside. Like, I just don't think that's really a good, I mean, I don't want to talk, it's not really good vibes right when the game starts. Right. And I think if you can get a guy who has probably gives you Bo when he's on the most competitive at bats of any hitter in the lineup. And I think that bodes well for just the trickle down. Okay, I'm going to fight in my at bat when I get up there today. And it might just be vibes. But I really do think that having a guy that's that aggressive and that competitive and that has the ability to get on base the way Bo can when he's humming along, I think it's worth a shot. It's worth a shot. And then if it doesn't work out and he's not comfortable up there or whatever, then that's when you move him down to two, sure, or three or four or whatever the heck else you want to do. But I think starting the year with him in the leadoff spot is the way I would go.
We did see a couple other guys in the lineup today that could being the operative word here, be potential solutions if you don't want Bo at the leadoff spot. I mean, I'll put Springer aside for now just because we've seen that and talked about that plenty. But, I mean, Andrés Giménez, who's batting sixth to start the game, he's at second base. Will Wagner has been a popular candidate.
Yep.
I mean, he's got to hit a little bit better, but he was at third base to start this game. He was batting eighth. I mean, and you know what else? Frankly, Dalton Varsho, he's batting second. He was DHing. Now, again, we can talk about Varsho and the fielding aspect of his game, but he is DHing so far because he has not yet been in the field because of the offseason shoulder surgery. But gosh, I mean, Varsho just tanking another home run. I mean, he made it 1-0 in the bottom of the first inning for the second straight appearance. I mean, he wasn't in every game since the last time we saw him. But I mean, in his first spring training debut a couple of days ago, he hit a home run in the bottom of the first inning, and then he did it again today. So the offensive aspect of Varsho's game so far certainly looks to be on track to be good during the regular season. Obviously, all of these discussions come with caveats that you got to actually do it in the regular season for this to actually mean anything. But I mean, gosh, if you had any sort of question mark about Varsho's health so far, at least the swing looks real good. We'll see what the throwing looks like, goodness, when he actually gets back in the field, because he's a Gold Glove center fielder. But gosh, the offense looks good so far.
That pitch was just right in his wheelhouse. Yeah. Like, that's the one he absolutely loves to go and get down kind of below his knees, sinks down, almost golfs it out of the stadium. Like that's the swing that he makes when he's feeling it. And if he can give you, 20 and 75, then who's to say that's not a guy that could be in your cleanup spot?
Right.
And you could have sort of move everybody up a notch and he gives you that sort of consistent contribution. Like when you put all those things together and a Dalton Varsho is comfortable and a Bo is comfortable and a George Springer has a bit of a bounce back campaign, suddenly the lineup doesn't look that dreary. Like, yes, we've talked about it ad nauseum that things need to break their way. But if they just played to their potential, the lineup isn't that bad. Like they have the ability to score runs. Now there's injury concerns and things that can absolutely throw you off kilter. But if you go up and down the line, I mean, Bo has potential to hit 20 home runs. Vladdy, obviously, 30 to 40. Santander, 30 to 40. Springer hit 19 last year in a terrible season. Varsho can give you 20. It remains to be seen from Alejandro Kirk. But that's five guys in your lineup that can give you 20-plus home runs. And that, I think, when it comes to scoring more this season, is a huge boon for this offense that they're going to need to have if they want to remain competitive and fighting for a playoff spot.
590-590, name and location is the people's text line. That's where you can reach us on the text line. As always, standard data and messaging rates may apply. Let's read a couple of texts here before we take a quick break, Jesse.
Love it.
Let's see. I see one here from Charlie and Timmons. He says, yes, I'm very bullish. I think Charlie's making a joke. I think he's saying, like, I'm very bullish.
Bullish, but it's bullish.
But bullish. So
yeah,
I like it, Charlie. I feel like that doesn't always come through in, like, text. Yeah. But
I nailed it.
I do understand. Charlie also says, I see him in the promotional material. Where's Vladdy in all the promo material? I mean, I made this point to you
so funny.
In the pregame show, but the Jays did go out of their way to place as many, if not all, of the promo, whether it's bobbleheads or jerseys or whatever, for all of the players like Vladdy and Bo. Bassett as well. I think he only has the one, but it's the basketball jersey. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other ones as well for a variety of players. But all the players that are like in the question of getting traded, all of them have their giveaways before the trade deadline.
It's actually hilarious, and we can laugh about it, but it's very prudent business.
Yeah, I mean, you want these. Who's going to go for a Vladdy bobblehead if he gets traded at the deadline?
It's just dead money. It's just dead expenses that you paid to have all the promotional material, and the guy's not there anymore. What are you going to do? You're going to put in a back storage room at Rogers Center, and no one's ever going to see it again.
Yeah.
So
makes sense.
They're doing the right thing, but it is rather funny.
There's a text here from, why don't we talk about Max Scherzer? Because there's a text here from Brad in Nova Scotia. I always appreciate hearing from you, Brad. Brad says, Scherzer, 40 is the new 30. Thank God for me. I'm now 50. He looks way better than expected. That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's true. This is the new this seems to be getting lower every year, but which I suppose bodes well for everyone who is younger than that age.
Sure.
But it's true. Max Scherzer, we'll talk about Scherzer, then we'll take a quick break here, Jesse. But Scherzer was great.
The slider is nasty.
So he gives up the home run to Cody Clemens, who's actually been pretty strong so far in the spring. Roger Clemens' son, actually, one of his many sons.
We're so
but
old, man.
He does feel like we're very old. Clemens goes Oppo Taco on that one, but still 47 pitches thrown, 3 2/3. The one hit he allowed was the home run to Clemens. No walks, 4 strikeouts. I mean, look, we can dive deeper in the numbers if you want, but I think from a general standpoint about Scherzer, over 2 spring starts, and he looked really good in the first spring start when he went 2 innings, but everything looks pretty much exactly as the team had hoped through 2 starts in the spring. And I said this in the pregame show, but for the most part, like the spring, for everyone, but I think doubly so for a guy who's 40 turning 41, it's about health, it's about rhythm, it's about knowing your body, it's about making sure you're not overexerting yourself, but still getting your work in. And all of those things have gone as well as you could possibly hope. Again, very early, 2 spring starts is what it is. But I think you should be pretty happy about what you've seen from Max Scherzer.
Yeah, I mean, the velocity might not be where it once was for him. But if you watch the game today and you see his slider, he's absolutely burying that thing against lefties. Like, it was pretty nasty. And that's exactly what you want to see. There's not a whole lot that's flat with Scherzer at the moment. And he feels comfortable. He looks good. 47 pitches is quite a number on your second start. Like, he looks like he's just about as good as it could possibly be at this juncture. And obviously, you're kind of holding your breath, I think, anytime he's starting for at least the first little bit, because the injury history has been there to such a degree, and he's turning 41 this year, which is crazy that he's still getting the job done the way he is. But he doesn't look 40. Like, he looks just like he did in years past when he was doing really, really well. And he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. So I would say, you know, as long as he's productive, let's try and enjoy every time he's out there on the mound, because it's not every day you get a future Hall of Famer pitching for the Toronto Blue Jays and doing well in that moment as well. Usually you see guys come here that really at the tail end of their career where they got nothing left. Doesn't look like Max Scherzer has nothing left at the moment. He looks pretty good.
Yeah, 3 2/3 again, one hit, which is a solo home run by Cody Clemens. So just the one earned run, no walks, 4 strikeouts in 12 batters face, and 47 pitches thrown, 30 of them were strikes. Let's take a quick break here, Jesse. Sure. And on the other side, we'll read more of your texts, 590, 590, name and location. You see a bunch here we have not gotten to. And we'll chat about some of the players we haven't gone to as well. I want to talk about the bullpen with you. And Baden Francis also had an appearance today as well. So still some things to get to from this spring training game. A 5-4 Blue Jays win over the Phillies. We're back in a flash. You're listening to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Bichette drives the ball down the left field line. It's hooking. And it's a fair ball. That's a home run for Bo Bichette. Had to wait for the point of Mark Carlson, but Bo Bichette drives it way out of the ballpark to left, and the Blue Jays take the lead again.
Bo Bichette driving the home run 420 feet over the foul pole, which is why I think Ben had to wait a little bit to see if that ball was going to stay fair. Yeah. But a 5-4 win for the Blue Jays, courtesy of a couple of home runs, Dalton Varsho, Stuart Baroa, and then that one from Bo Bichette. You're listening to Jays Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Jesse Rubinoff with you for another 13 minutes or so. And we spent a little time talking about Scherzer, talking about Bo, talking about Varsho in the first half. We'll get to Baden Francis and the bullpen in a sec, but I did want to continue reading everyone's texts here, Jesse.
Sure.
590, 590, name and location. Let's see, a couple of texts here. Mike from Toronto says, I keep hearing people on podcasts, even like Ben and Arden, that Vladdy is a weak defender. That's simply not what I see at all. Frankly, he does have some defensive value, and I love watching him. Today was fun. It's true. You know what? I've been critical with you before of Vladdy's play at first. Today, he was pretty good, all things considered, in the limited time the starters were on the field. I do think by a lot of metrics, Vladdy is an average to below average defender, but and simply because range-wise, he doesn't quite have the range as like your average first baseman. But I don't think that necessarily means he is like the worst first base defender ever, right? It's just when you look at a lot of stats like outs above average, and that itself is a flawed metric. I will absolutely hand up. I'll admit to that, even though I do like to use that stat sometimes. Outs above average last year, for example, has had Vladdy as like one of the worst first basemen defensively in Major League Baseball. But still, I mean, this is a guy who won a Gold Glove at first base. It's just, I think since he won the Gold Glove, it's declined a little bit, right? So it does sometimes feel like when we talk about Vladdy's reputation for being a good defender at first base, it's somewhat like he's dining out on having won the Gold Glove before.
Yeah,
but again, like he is by no means the worst first base defender out there. It's just, I think he is viewed as like at best an all right defender.
What's crazy is that on Fangraphs, so his WAR for the season was 5.5. But if you look at his fielding value on Fangraphs, he was the 21st ranked first baseman defensively.
So like slightly above, below average, I would say.
It's below average among, all
is
the
that the American League or is that the whole
league? That's the major leagues.
Okay.
He's about middle of the pack, but there's 20 first basemen that are better defensively than him, and this is a guy who's won a Gold Glove before. But at the end of the day, it's not what moves the needle for me. Like, he's not terrible. He's not great. He's just there because there aren't a whole heck of a lot of other places that he can defend. I mean, he was fine last year at third base when he played, but I don't think that's the long-term solution for him.
Right.
He's a first baseman, and that's fine. And he does an adequate job there, and that's fine. But it's not what he's here for. He's here to hit 40 home runs and get 120 RBI in a good season. So if he makes the odd error, or he doesn't have the range that everybody wants him to have, like that's just part and parcel of not every player being perfect. So I'm not going to sit here and get on him about his defense. I think you look at a more important position in shortstop, and I think that's why the conversation around Bo Bichette has been the way it has been for so many years, because last year he was okay. You talked about that in the pregame, but there have been years where he really struggled at shortstop, and that's a critical defensive position. And if you're going to have a shortstop that's well below average defensively, that actually materially impacts your team and your ability to win games. First baseman, not as important as a shortstop. And it's not like Vladdy's bad. So I'm not going to sit here and criticize his defense. He's fine, but just be a bopper. you're here for.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you. Like, if he's a bad defender, then I probably would have something to say about it.
Yeah.
But if he's just an all right defender, or he's slightly below average defender, that's not gonna change my opinion of Vladdy one way or another.
No.
It's not gonna change my opinion if he's hitting like 30 to 35 home runs, right? Like I think that's the key there. Tony in Scarborough on the text line says, should we trade Vlad, get something for him, and make a move for him in free agency? So I'll say this: I think trading players and then re-signing them in free agency, I know this is gonna sound silly because they literally just did this with Jimmy Garcia, but it happens very infrequently. Like, I'm guilty of this too. I think even we believe it happens more than it actually happens. And not just in baseball, like in all sports, in football and hockey and basketball, certainly here in North America. I think we believe it happens more than it does. It just doesn't happen all that often, right?
Yeah.
So knowing that if you were to trade Vladdy, I think you are essentially waving the white flag on your relationship with him and saying he's going to sign somewhere else. And now some people probably think that's the right move to do, but I just believe, and I said this to you in the pregame show as well, but I'll say it again here. But if you're trading Vladdy now, before the season even starts, you are essentially waving the white flag on the season, right? Because
yeah.
you believe you're not going to compete. And so you're trying to get as many assets for him as possible with a full year instead of half a year at the deadline. I just don't believe the team is ever going to do that for anyone because, A, that's not good business, right? You want people to come into your ballpark and watch the ball games, as much as people might hate hearing that answer. But the other part of it is, I mean, if you think you can compete, you want Vladdy on your team, and you're going to add at the deadline probably, right? So we talked about this before, but gosh, it really does hinge on how the team gets off to you in, you know, what, April, May, and June, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You get closer to the trade deadline, and that's when you have to make your decision. Because if you end up trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you're not trading him for, like, really valuable, active major league roster pieces. You're still the 24th ranked farm system in baseball.
Right.
So even if you're commanding a Juan Soto-type trade deadline deal, if that's what you think you're going to get and you end up getting that, you're not getting guys that are going to help you immediately towards the postseason. If you're trading them, it's because the season's lost.
Right.
And I mean, you nailed it. If you're trading them before the season, it's just bad business, because you can do this. You can accomplish the same thing closer to the trade deadline as you would if you were to trade him tomorrow. And trading him tomorrow just ends your 2025 season. And I don't know why you would ever go down that road. Even if you think you're eventually going to have to trade him, there's a lot of time on that runway still.
Marco in Innisfil says, what do you guys think would make the fans happier? Vladdy re-signing before the season begins, or a change in the Jays front office? That's a good question, because I think those two things are actually quite close. I'll choose to be positive, and I'll say it'll be Vladdy re-signing. So a lot of people, I think their view of how the offseason went does somewhat hinge on Vladdy being the final piece, quote unquote. But I mean, gosh, you just know there are a bunch of fans out there that, and I'm not saying this is a wrong thing to believe, but there are a lot of fans out there who want Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro gone.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking the other side of that. I think Vladdy has his detractors. But I think the people that support the Blue Jays front office, there's probably fewer of those people than there are people that dislike Vladdy. So I'm going to say people would rather see a change in the front office than even re-signing Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Because even if you re-sign Vladdy, you're in the same spot essentially that you've been in for the last decade. Nothing has really changed.
Right, right.
So to actually move the needle, you know, I think a lot of people out there would say what has to happen is you have to have someone with a new vision come in and change the trajectory of an organization that hasn't won a playoff game since these guys have been here.
Yeah.
So... unfortunately, that's what I think. I think people would like to see a change in the front office, but you never know. But unfortunately, we can't have this exercise because Vladdy won't be resigning before the season starts.
Yeah, very, very unlikely,
yeah.
Right? It seems pretty unlikely at this point. Courtney in Mississauga says, Vlad's better at first than Bo is at shortstop. You know what? That's probably true. Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, it's
maybe
a pretty,
not last year.
But it's also like a bar that I'm not going to say is like on the ground, but it's maybe at like waist level. You know what I mean? The bar is, it's not the highest bar, I think, in the whole wide world. Not because Bo is a bad shortstop, but again, many of us have talked about this before, not just you and I, but the idea that Bo is, you know, like at best, like an all right defensive shortstop, if not maybe the best he'll ever be is a good, if not great, defensive shortstop. I think he probably lives in that average defensive play for a shortstop. So, yeah, I don't know. Courtney's probably right, honestly. But again, it doesn't seem like a particularly high bar.
Here's the thing about the Blue Jays defense. Like, you can get on guys individually when you think they're not great defensively. But the Blue Jays in 2024 had 13 more defensive runs saved than any other team in the majors. So if you go around every single team in the major leagues, they all have deficiencies on the defensive side at probably more than two positions. And if you're getting average to below average defense from two guys who are supposed to be the pillars of your offense, then that's just the way it goes. Like, not everybody's a perfect five-tool baseball player.
Right.
Like, it's those guys don't come around very often. Like, you're going to have average defenders or even some below average defenders. That's just the way it goes when you put together nine guys on the field together. Like, not everyone's perfect. So when you evaluate it as a whole and you understand that the Blue Jays have tried to win this way, their defense has been sensational for the last couple of seasons. But it has directly coincided with the guys who you were expecting to have great offense from. That hasn't happened. So that's where the disconnect has occurred and why they haven't won as many games as everyone thought they were going to.
Oh, we have a couple of minutes left here, Jesse. Before we say goodbye, I did want to get to one more thing from this game. And we've talked about this many times over the last year, but that the bullpen for the Blue Jays has been not good. And that's an understatement, right? I mean, I joked before, but like the actual results were, if the Blue Jays had just a bad bullpen last year, not a historically bad bullpen, but an actual normal below average bullpen, they might have been closer to 80 wins, let's say, right? Which is crazy to say.
How many times we were sitting in the Rogers Center together getting ready to do Jays talk, and Jays would be leading and someone would come out of the bullpen and we'd look at each other and be like, this game's over. And it would happen. Like, they would actually blow it. They would actually blow it. And that's how you end up with 74 wins on the season, in large part.
Well, the bullpen looks a little more organized, a little better reordered. We didn't see Jeff Hoffman in this game, but we did get to see at the end of the game both Jimmy Garcia and Chad Green. Jimmy Garcia, 17 pitches, no hits or walks, 2 Ks in an inning of work. Chad Green, 6 pitches. He barely threw the ball. Mm-hmm. I think 5 of them were strikes, quote-unquote, but most of them were just balls in the ground. No hits or walks, 1 K in an inning of work. Just real quick before we go, we have a couple minutes left here, Jesse. What is your feel on the bullpen as it's presently constructed? We're only a little over a week into the spring training campaign. What's your feel on the bullpen so far?
I think the back-end depth is sensational. Like, I think the fact that you have Hoffman sort of stepping into the Jordan Romano role, where, you know, Romano being hurt last year, I think really set this team back. And if you can have a closer that sort of does that job that Romano did at one point when he was healthy, I think that's a great starting place for you. And then Jimmy has been nasty for a number of years now. Like, if you put him in the right spot, that is perfect for the back end of the bullpen. And then Chad Green, I mean, you saw just what he can give you today in only 6 pitches. He can get out of there quickly. And that's a big asset as well. So I like the back end. I think the front end of the bullpen probably needs to see a little bit more. But I think the back end's in really good shape heading into the season.
Jesse, we are always in good shape when you get to do Jay's Talk with
Thank
me.
Thank you, buddy.
I can't believe we got to do it in the spring to get
so
back into
fun.
The swing of things. So hopefully we get to do more once the season begins.
I would appreciate nothing more. It's been a pleasure to be here for the last couple of hours, buddy.
That is a great Jesse Rubinoff. I'm Sho Ali. Appreciate you all being with us on Blue Jays Baseball, which is, as always, broadcast during spring training across the Sportsnet Radio Network. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jesse, for Ben Shulman, Buck Martinez, Arden Zwelling, Tom Young, I'm Sho Ali. That does it for us. We are out of here. I got to go get set for the Oscars tonight. Got to lock in on some picks. Jays Talk Classic will return next weekend with Julia Kreutz on both Saturday and Sunday. We'll do some Jays Talk Light throughout the week for the TV simulcast. But until then, have a great Sunday, everyone. Anora for Best Picture. Let's go. Fingers crossed. We'll talk to you later.